to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
It is Flannel Friday.
It is Flannel Friday.
Because it's nice and cool out there, so it's time to break out the flannel and stay nice and cozy this fall. And,
I feel like every Friday should be Flannel Friday.
Some other things happen when fall rolls around. It's cold. It's dark in the morning. It's dark when you leave work. It's just dark
it's just
half
dark.
The day. Are you motivated to stick with your routines? Particularly, we're talking about staying, your fitness routines and staying on top of those. We're going to talk about that in the second half with our good friend Jennifer Hamer, and give us some motivation to stay on it through these cold, dark days of fall and winter. But before that. Chapel, do you listen to the chapel services here on KFUO throughout the week?
If you don't, you should.
10 a.m. Central. Sitting in chapel this week, and Dr. Vicker, senior assistant to the president, shares a sermon. Wow, we got to talk about this because, the chapel homily is only just a few minutes long.
Well.
It depends on who's preaching,
it
yes.
depends.
But I'm like, oh, I have so many questions I want to ask him now, because that's a really good sermon. And we were talking about, can you hum a sermon? What a good question to pose at the beginning of the sermon. Do you remember a sermon enough? Can you hum it when you leave? Because you can hum a song. You can hum a hymn when you leave. Thanks to our friends at Concordia University, Wisconsin, for supporting the Coffee Hour. Find them at cuw.edu. They're also at kfuo.org in the underwriter section up in the upper left-hand corner of the page. In studio with us this morning, the Reverend Dr. John Vicker, senior assistant to the president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod and preacher for chapel earlier this week. Can you hum a sermon? One of those homilies that really just, man, stuck out for me. Did you have fun writing this one, Dr. Vicker?
I did. In fact, to tell you the truth, it's a bit of a rewarmed sermon that I've...
We all know your secret now.
You preached it before and I should have remembered it from the previous days.
I've used that. You know, I grew up in a small congregation in rural California, and from my earliest days, it was a Missouri Synod congregation. We sang TLH, good old page 5 and 15, and the singing was led by Virgil Cordes, who was the congregation's treasurer, and he had a loud, fairly on-pitch, consistent tenor voice, kind of nasally, with which he led the entire pack. And there were plenty of other good singers, but he was the leader. And I learned how to sing hymns from my mother, of course, who was also a singer, but from Virgil, because he was there. He was there. And I can't remember any of the sermons that the preacher ever preached. I can't remember. I can remember they were pretty good most of the time, but I know a lot of those hymns. And hymns, I would maintain, are kind of mini sermons. They deliver God's word into our hearts that then move onto our lips to share with others.
So what advantage does music have over speaking texts, singing words over speaking them?
Yeah, you know, I wouldn't put one over the other. You know, what music does is it brings a different, it reaches into the human heart in a way that words alone may not be able to. Mm-hmm. So, as I mentioned in the sermon, pastors who are in the parish see this when they visit elderly folks who have kind of lost everything, so to speak, their health and their dignity and their physical appearance, and most cruelly at times, even their memories of their life. But when you start to sing those little sermons, those words, those with the music that they grew up with, like I did with Virgil Cordes, they come to life. They begin to even sing along at times. And then you can see that they haven't lost everything. They haven't lost the Word of God, which is still residing in them through the words and the music of those songs.
I had the opportunity to really witnessed this on my internship as a DCE, making shut-in visits with our minister for care, and that saw that happen. Sitting down with a shut-in, and here I bring my pocket hymnal with me, so I can open it up to the hymn and follow along and sing too. And this shut-in, who had trouble recognizing who we were when visiting, when we got to the hymns, didn't need a hymnal.
No.
When we got to the liturgy, didn't need a hymnal, knew it all by heart. And that was what she could sing and pray along with us ever so clearly, more than anything else She could could communicate. It really did open my eyes to the beauty of the liturgy. I mean, I already thought the liturgy and the hymns were beautiful, but it really did open my eyes to that. So, what does God's Word teach about music and hymns and psalms?
St. Paul writes about this in a couple of places, one of which is the text that that I was preaching on from Ephesians chapter 2, where he says, "Be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns, in spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with all your heart." And I noticed that just before that, it was not part of the text, but he quotes this this saying, "Awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you." And many scholars believe that to be actually a fragment of a hymn. Mm-hmm. And he's actually quoting a hymn, early Christ hymn, as he moves into addressing the songs. But I think the most powerful text is in Colossians chapter 3:16, where he connects the word of Christ, the gospel, with singing. He says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom." And here it comes. "Singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your heart." So for for all of the Old Testament, the Psalter of the Old Testament is the ancient Israelites' hymnal. Into the early church, Christians were still singing those psalms, and they began to write other hymns and spiritual songs as they're described of Christ. And this continues ever since the founding of the church. So the connection of the gospel, the proclamation of the gospel with our singing, is integral to what we do.
So you've talked about this a little bit, but how are hymns, how do they act as sermons, especially since it's a congregational thing? It's not the pastor by himself preaching the word to us. It's the congregation, and we get to sing these to each other too. So how do these hymns act as sermons?
Well, they're not sermons in the sense of the pastor as the person standing there in the stead of Christ and preaching the preaching the good news, but they are kind of mini sermons. The best hymns, anyway, are you know. So James Montgomery, who was an English hymn writer from the early 19th century, said, "A good hymn is like a good sermon. It has a beginning and a middle and an end." and other hymn writers have followed. You know, the best hymn writers have followed that. Herman Stumpfli, another Lutheran hymn writer from the 20th century, was a fine homiletician, did his dissertation, doctorate, and taught all that his life. He didn't start writing hymns till he was in his 60s, but he had this beginning, middle, end thing. And I want to give an example of this with Stephen Starkey, who in Lutheran Service Book 612, as rebels Lord who foolishly have wandered, he tells the story of the prodigal son, and he begins it, he picks it up with the prodigal son in the pig pen, where he says, "As rebels, Lord, who foolishly have wandered far from your love, unfed, unclean, unclothed, dare we recall your wealth so rashly squandered? Dare hope to glean that bounty which we loathed?" He begins the story in the pig pen, and he puts it not in, he portrays it not from perspective of the prodigal son, but from our perspective. We're that prodigal son. And he tells the story in three simple stanzas in a way that's very unique. So it's a little sermon that's quite beautiful.
It's accessible. Hymnody is accessible. Earlier, the text that you read, speaking to one another, it's not just, you know, not just pastor to congregation, but to one another. Mm-hmm. During Lent, How is our seating arranged in chapel here?
Yes, we kind of follow a kind of a monastic Benedictine order of in terms of way we put the seats. If you go to a Benedictine chapel, you'll see the seats are facing one another instead of facing the altar. So we choose in the chapel here to arrange ourselves that way during the season of Lent. And we get a little pushback from some people who don't like to stare at other people during the service.
But, don't look at me.
You know, we're trying to mix things up a little bit here. But yeah, absolutely. And there's a case where you can do singing back and forth, which is really how all the psalms are set up. They're set up to be, you know, in Hebrew, you don't rhyme with sound. Like, you know, you rhyme with meaning. So the ends of the lines rhyme with each other in terms of their meaning, and you can sing that back and forth.
And it's accessible in that everyone can sing it. It's not just the older or mature adults, but children can sing hymns as well. Much to the surprise of them, children can learn hymns and carry them with them throughout life. It's that sermon that they can carry with them throughout life. One of my son's favorite hymns is "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is," and
that's a great one.
He loves that, probably because of the pictures in my first hymnal with it. But he does. I mean, he likes to sing it as well,
and he's learned it because someone has been singing it around him.
Absolutely, we sing it together. Yeah,
absolutely. And he hears it in church. He hears it from his parents. Kids are going to imitate whatever they hear, for good or bad, and. The more good, such as hymns, that we can put into them, the better.
60 seconds.
Oh, that's it?
Uh-oh. I know.
Oh,
you're, pick one or two favorite sermons and song. Your favorite hymn, one or two favorite hymns,
I know. Tall order.
Wow, there are so many.
I know. I do it to musicians all the time, church musicians. What's your favorite hymn? Well, there are only 800.
Do you have a couple of days for me to put my list together?
Yeah, it just depends what day of the week day of the church year you're talking. Well, I really love this. "As rebels, Lord, who foolishly have wandered." Another Starkey favorite is "Water, Blood, and Spirit Crying." Very deep, very deep and thoughtful hymn. I love the hymnody of Martin Fransman, because he knew how to use language. And then of course most anything by Luther.
Like a true church musician, it just goes with whole, like, genres or composers.
I have to go by, like, writers, not by the actual, like, specific hymn. There's just too many.
Yeah, exactly.
We should call this a series, like, Behind the Sermon, because we have the best job in the world. We get to hear a sermon and then invite the preacher to come in and talk about it more. The Reverend Dr. John Vicar, Senior Assistant to the President of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, thank you so much for being our guest this morning.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, how do you stay on task with those fitness goals during the cold, dark days of fall and winter? You listen to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.